Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
A busy week of hockey for the Thunderbirds with 5 games in 8 days as they push to the Christmas break. More roster changes leave the T-Birds even younger for the weekend ahead. And the Western Hockey League announces a big Bantam tournament to be held locally this February. We'll be back to talk about it all next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
It was another mixed bag for Seattle in their most recent plays. They've fallen into a pattern of doing just enough to come up short in some games while throwing in a complete 60-minute effort to grab an impressive win in another. Seattle will play their final 2 home games before the Christmas break this weekend. Tomorrow night, 7:35, the Tri-City Americans are in town. It's an important game for the T-Birds' playoff hopes. Don't forget, that is a Dave & Buster's pub night. Saturday at 6, the Spokane Chiefs are back at the Accesso Showwear Center. And for ticket information on those 2 games, the final 2 games before the Christmas break, as we mentioned, you can go online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Seattle, by the way, will end the first half, the unofficial first half, with a pair of road games. Sunday, they'll be down in Portland taking on the Winterhawks, and the next Tuesday, they go over to Kennewick, the Toyota Center, for another matchup with the Americans. Now, inconsistency has been, I guess you could say, the calling card for this young team through the first half of the season, and that was on display in their last 3 games. Now, it started very well, a well-earned win last Friday up in Victoria. Now, a loss in a penalty-filled game the next night to the Royals. The T-Birds then come home Tuesday, and more penalty trouble hurts the T-Birds in a home loss to Spokane. Through it all, we saw more roster changes. The team did get a little younger and will be a little younger for this weekend. They said goodbye to their captain. And now coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the inaugural Western Hockey League U.S. Challenge Cup, and maybe some future T-Birds will be on the ice for that. We'll have the GM Bill LaForge in for that. But right now, it's time to welcome in the head coach, Matt Odette. Well, Matt, first of all, you'll notice Andy Ide's not here. He had a head cold, so he just stayed home. But he sent me a list of questions, so I just want you to know the good questions are from me. The hard ones, the grilling questions, those are from Andy. I'm going to lob you the softballs. But, you know, team coming off of a week where you played 3 games, and, you know, I think you mentioned this, a lot of passion in the way the team played, maybe a little too much passion at times, but you know, you can see that the team is competing hard every game, a couple of tough losses involved in that. You want to get in the win column in those games, but the team's playing the right way. They're not out there just going through the motions.
No, absolutely not. Tons of passion, tons of effort and competitiveness. You know, just trying to rein that in at the right times and controlling our emotions at times would be one thing that we can improve there. But as coaches, you always say, you know, it's better to try to tone them down and then rather than to try to get a heartbeat out of them. We definitely have a heartbeat, and the passion is definitely there.
I know that you don't agree with all the calls the last 3 games, though. The opponents have had combined 22 power plays, and not much you can do about it. Once they're called, you got to go out there and kill them off. But you do want to stay away from that as best as you can, and as you mentioned, reining them in. But you don't want to get away from being a physical team, though.
No, and you know, the refs are maybe not allowing us to play the way we want to play. I thought, you know, there's some penalties that we don't mind killing, you know, the physical penalties, you know, some of the stick penalties and the retaliatory penalties, which there isn't a lot, to be honest. Those can be avoidable, and, you know, we've had some penalties at inopportune times, you know, the one that put us down 5-on-3, and we want our guys going hard to the net. It's just an unfortunate thing that happened that their goalie got taken out, and, you know, I thought the slew foot last night was something that we could have avoided. That was a one that put us down as well. I think it was 5-on-3 or 4-on-3 again. But, yeah, you don't want to take that physical play, that passion away from our guys. But it's that fine line of trying to corral it in the right way. And with a young team, that's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, do you think a young team maybe gets called more for some of these penalties than maybe a veteran team? Because they've kind of maybe not learned yet how to play within those boundaries completely?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. And I think some of it is, you know, these guys are young kids and, you know, they have maybe less control and less coordination of their bodies, you know, in some ways that's part of it as well. But, you know, and then maybe less respect from the officials. You know, that might be part of it too. But yeah, I think there's some things that we can clean up and definitely get better. But you know, I thought that our identity and the way we like to play that works for us is coming around. And you know, that being said, the officials aren't free from fault either. They've been very inconsistent in the way they've called the games. And you know, for example, the Spoke game, those guys are running outside the dots for big hits, high hits, open ice hits. That if we're making those hits, we're going to the penalty box. So that's the standard. I think needs to be a little bit more even there.
And you know, that said, I mean, I thought penalty killing was pretty good over the last three games. But again, when you're, you know, getting an average power play to the other team seven times a game, it's hard to kill off seven power plays a night. And eventually, the odds are with them that they're going to score. But penalty killing it's been pretty decent for you.
Yeah, it has. It's coming around. You know, the 5-on-3s for extended periods of time, they're extremely hard to kill, especially against good power plays and teams with good offensive players. It's hard to hold off the score sheet in those situations there. And like we talk about all the time, when you have that many kills in the game, it's taxing. It just taxes your guys and doesn't allow us to play our style, which is a wear teams down in the O zone. Didn't have enough opportunity to do that because we're in our end killing penalty. So it's kind of a reverse effect of what we want to do to the other team.
Roddy had a bounce back for you Tuesday night, played really well, a couple of big stops on some breakaways, but you know, a little better than I guess the effort Saturday up in Vic when you pulled him. Didn't like that third goal that he gave up, but again, he had a bounce back effort. And Blake Lida, you know, again, you can't take away that 10 goal game against, but boy, you'd like to, because his numbers around that have been really good for you. I think I looked at you take out that game, his last four games he's played in, his goals against is down under 1.6, and his save percentage is up around 9.6.
Yeah. You know, Roddy played fantastic, you know, against Spoke. You know, great game by him. That's what we expect out of Roddy, and he's been like that the majority of the season. And Blake, he's coming around, you know, good young goalie, gaining some confidence. You know, his last several games have been really good for us. I think he's bounced back and showed mental toughness and showed how good he is as a goalie. He's just getting better and better every game he gets out there.
You know, and there's a tendency, I would think, as a coach, a guy had a bad game, let's give him some practice time, let him get his head back around. But you put him right out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, I think it shows the faith that we have in both goaltenders. You know, we did it very quickly with Blake after the Kamloops game. He got right back in there and played great. Same thing with Roddy. You want to get him back in there, instill our confidence in him, and he responded.
Now, there was a goal Tuesday against you by Spokane late in the second, ended up being the game-winning goal, and looked like, at least from some vantage points, maybe it was with a high stick. They did video review it. I don't know if they had the correct angle or they just didn't see what, you know, you thought you saw. Is that initiated by the review judge, by you? Can you challenge that?
Well, here's how it went down. I don't think any of the refs saw it live, which isn't surprising. You know, they didn't know what happened, and they had to make a call on the goal, and they called it a goal live, and then that brought it to the review. And the review, we didn't have any proper camera angles, or the camera couldn't catch up to the play fast enough, and we didn't have a conclusive replay, which I think everyone that saw it live, it was, you know, the guy had a stick, carrying a stick above his shoulder, and he didn't even move it, and it hit a stick and went down into the net. So I thought it was clearly a high stick, and then the referee after the period was like, yeah, we didn't see it well, we called a goal. And you know, unfortunately the video replay was inconclusive, but we understand that it there's a good chance it was a high stick. We're sorry. Okay, well, that's the game-winning goal, thanks. But that's the way it goes sometimes. You know, nobody's perfect.
And unfortunately, I mean, this is not an NHL building. You don't have the vast number of camera angles that they would have there to look at something like that. So you're at the mercy of the, you know, and it's not anybody's fault that they just have a couple of cameras at this level. That's the way it is in most buildings in this league. There's a couple of NHL buildings in this league where you maybe get more angles to that. So unfortunately, it goes against you in that instance. Now, you know, you've got a lot of young guys, as we've mentioned. You've got a little bit younger as well. And some of those young guys, as they're getting consistent ice time, we're seeing them really start to play more consistently. It's always a work in progress. But, you know, Connor Rolette's coming back from U17. He seems to have stepped his game up. He's really creative out there. And Tuesday night, Matt Rempe, I think maybe his best game. He had an assist and a goal, and he had a couple of other, really high-grade scoring chances. So those young guys are taking advantage of that ice time you're giving them.
Yeah, they're coming around. You know, Rempe in particular is showing something every game. He's progressing each and every time he's out there. It's nice to see. He does a little bit of everything. He's got the physical play, the scoring touch for a big guy, and you know, he can do some things on the PK and defensively as well. So he's coming along. Roulette's obviously coming along, got some chemistry with his line mates there. Kai's getting more minutes now, and he's showing some good stuff there as well. And Lucas has been a force most of the year. So those young guys have been great for us. The extra ice time opened up is beneficial for those guys, and I think we'll continue to see improvement.
You know, I've always heard, I don't know if it was always about hockey, but, you know, more about football or basketball, is that you can't teach size. Obviously, essentially, that's just genetics. You can't teach size. But what I've always heard from some coaches is that you can't teach size, but you can teach size how to use the size to their advantage.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than guys that do have size and don't use it to their advantage, use it effectively. And obviously, Rempe's a guy that does have size and can get around the ice for a big guy. That's very key. Some guys can't move like he can at that size. And just using it. He's using his physical tools. He's getting to the net. He's creating space for himself. You know, he's finishing his checks. He's using that long reach, to protect pucks and to defend as well. So, it's nice when those guys use it, and when those big guys don't, it's obviously detrimental to their hockey.
Now, because Simon Kubicek has left for the World Junior Training Camp for the Czech Republic, and Cade McNally still has a couple more games to serve on his suspension this week, and Spencer Penner, a draft pick from last spring's Bantam draft, he was a second-round selection, going to make his debut as a T-Bird as a 15-year-old. Obviously, you need him to have six healthy defensemen in the lineup. It's the second young defenseman from that draft who will have made their debut, Kevin Kurchinski, earlier this year. And again, you're not going to tax them, but it's a chance to get their feet wet.
Yeah, it's good for him to come and get a little bit of a taste and see what it's all about. I think it helps with us being at home. We can get him the best matchups that we can to help him along and give him an opportunity for success. And I think it's beneficial down the road. I think the majority of our prospects along the way have gotten a taste as a 15-year-old. I think it just helps them with experience. You know, when it's time to do it full-time, they know what it's all about, and just made our young team a little bit younger, and it's just quality experience for these guys.
Now, obviously, you saw him in training camp, a lot of action, even some in preseason, but now he goes back home and plays, and when he gets called back up, do you want a report on how he's been playing to see, before you put him in the lineup, where you can use him?
Yeah, I think we've been monitoring him pretty close. We had that injury there at the end of training camp that put him out for a little bit. Mark Romos has kept a close eye on him. And we've been, Bill's been talking to him recently to see how he's doing and see if he's ready to play at this level. Some guys are, some guys aren't. When Mark, reported that he's playing well and can handle it. So there's always communication and updates, and not only him but all our guys. We get reports consistently on how they're doing, and I think the way that he's been playing recently has led to his call up.
Well, we certainly look forward this weekend to him making his debut here on home ice.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a nice experience for him. Exciting for him to get that first game in.
As promised, coming up in the second half of the show, the T-Birds general manager Bill LaForge will join us to discuss the upcoming inaugural Western Hockey League U.S. Challenge Cup. The head coach will return as well, so stay with us on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Welcome back. It's this week's Coaches Show ahead of a busy weekend of hockey for the T-Birds. Three games in three nights. It begins with two games at home Tomorrow night, 7:35, Tri-City, the opposition. Saturday, 6:05, Spokane back in town. Then the T-Birds will make that short trip down the I-5 for a Sunday battle in Portland. Tickets for the home games are available online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Also, Seattle's going to close out the pre-Christmas portion of their schedule coming up Tuesday. Next week, they'll be in Kennewick. Right now, though, head coach Matt Audette is sitting on the sidelines. We're going to be joined by the general manager of the team. We welcome in Bill LaForge. Bill, before we get to this big announcement that was made early this week about this Bantam tournament coming in late February to the Kent area, you were busy general managering this weekend, if that's a correct terminology. Obviously, the big trade was the sending of Matt Wedman to Kelowna, getting a big return back for that. And then because of a medical situation, you also had to trade Alex Morozov to Saskatoon, his hometown, so he'd be closer to his family for that. So that move made the team a little bit younger. But you have a plan, and you're not just willy-nilly tossing guys off the roster for no reason whatsoever. And you have actually, I guess you could say, two plans. Plan A is to keep this team competitive and battle for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. And there's a couple of big games coming on the schedule here in the next week against Tri-City that will certainly point the team in a direction in that regard. But plan B is to make this team competitive not just this year, but to make it competitive as a perennial contender in the Western Hockey League for years to come. And part of doing that is to accumulate some draft capital that you can either spend or trade as you build this team to keep them competitive year by year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's no secret that we've accumulated a ton of picks coming up in the next few drafts. And at some point in time, we'll probably use some of those to buy a piece or two. But I think for right now, we're counting on our scouts, and we have a lot of faith in them. And we know that we'll make good selections in the, you know, upcoming Bantam draft. And then, you know, and as for this year, I mean, we're working hard every night. I mean, even last night, the game didn't go the way we wanted to, but I thought we played hard, we competed, we were in it for 60 minutes, and you know, I was really proud of the effort the boys put forward.
And certainly, your eye is more trained than mine is, but even I, as kind of the layman, as I watch this team and these young players, I can see the improvement already being made by some of these young guys. And part of that is now that they're getting consistent ice time.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get a young player in, if you want to develop them, you have to put them in uncomfortable situations. And I think you can see, you know, Roulette's out there playing key minutes, making big plays. Like, his vision is off the charts. And, you know, he seems to have found a little spot there with Ribs on the line there. And I think Rempe's been making big steps. Siona and Uchaz, I mean, they don't jump off the score sheet all the time, but just the plays they make, they play such a mature game. I think that, you know, all those young guys are coming along well. And then there's the group a year older, Bowsy and Davey, I think, made some good steps. And then if you follow that along, I mean, Peyton Mount was unreal in Victoria. And I think when they're young, you don't have the consistency yet. And I think that's something that they're working on. I know our coaches are working on it with them. And I think that hopefully by the, you know, in the next few weeks here, we'll start to see some of that, and we'll be in a good spot.
And for the fans who are wondering about this announcement, when the NHL is involved, the NHL Seattle group's involved, when the commissioner of the league comes into town, it's pretty significant. The announcement that was made on Tuesday of the WHL U.S. Challenge Cup, this elite AAA Bantam tournament that's going to be held here the 20th through the 23rd of February. From a GM perspective, we've had players in the Western Hockey League born in the U.S. There's currently players, there have been players, and there's going to be in the future. How does this kind of, you know, raise the bar or make it easier for you and other teams, for that matter, in the league to maybe convince? Obviously, it's going to help the scouting because those guys are coming to you. But how does it make it easier for you to get more of those top prospects to play in the Western Hockey League?
Well, I think having the players in the building here is going to be a great advantage for all the teams in the Western League, especially us. I mean, selfishly, having it in our rink with our facilities is really good for us. But I think once these players can come see a live game, see the quality that's on the ice, see the professionalism of our coaches, our facilities, I think it's going to make it a lot easier for me to educate you know, a young prospect coming in to visit our town and say, hey, listen, like, you saw the game here, you know what it looks like. And I think that just that's the big advantage. Like, when we went out to the camps in Anaheim, we're still giving them the same information, because, you know, we're providing everything we can do for these kids. But now they're seeing it with their own eyes. You know, a lot of them will have parents here watching the games. And I just think that it's a big opportunity for our whole league to show the, you know, the first-class operation that WHL is.
And you're bringing in, as we said, some of the top AAA Bantam programs in Western U.S. and Western Canada. And some of those teams from Southern California are what they are now as elite programs because the NHL came into those markets. So there is that effect. And that's something, and I'm sure this is why NHL Seattle is involved in this, that they can hopefully raise and grow programs locally that will do the same thing.
Right. I think, you know, you just have to look back to Gretzky going to LA back in the day. You know, the best player to come out of California probably wasn't even born when Gretzky got there. And I think that's the same thing that, you know, we're going to experience here. I think the best player to ever come out of Seattle probably hasn't been born yet, but he's going to be born a hockey fan just based on, you know, everything the NHL Seattle's doing, hopefully everything that the Seattle Thunderbirds are doing, and the way that hockey's going to grow in this area, I think it's going to be tremendous.
Could be Mekhi Sanders, though, right?
It could be. We're hoping. The big unveiling will be right after Christmas for that, so we're excited.
And, you know, I had a chance to talk to Ron Robison on Tuesday night after the announcement was made, and, you know, he talked about, you know, how this is a great collaboration between the T-Birds, the league, Kent, the city of Kent's big in this too, and NHL Seattle, but he said that this is something that they're going to do annually now. This is the inaugural one. This is not a one-off deal. This is something that they want to be able to do here year after year after year.
Yeah, and talking to Ron yesterday, I mean, they want to make this the best Bantam tournament you know, around. It's going to be a first-class event. You know, Colin's put a lot of work in here. Colin Campbell, our head honcho, I'll call him right now. I mean, he's put a ton of work in getting the NHL to Seattle, you know, visit Kent, laying the groundwork and making sure that we have a foundation for just an unbelievable tournament.
When you scout those teams now, I mean, you have to send someone, do you have a scout in those areas? Obviously, you'll continue to do that, but this will put more eyes, I would imagine, in the organization on those players?
Oh, for sure. We're going to bring in, you know, Mark Romas will come in, Craig Goble will come in, Jag Ball, and, of course, Cal, as well as myself, and we'll all have our eyes on these players here, and you know, we'll use it for a little bit of meeting time, and then you know, we'll have to get that American list organized, because there is the new American, you know, two-round draft as well.
Yeah, I know they haven't released all the details on that. Ron mentioned that'll be coming after the new year, but that's, again, it's significant. But the Q does something similar. Is it going to be based on that, or is this something that the WHL is going to kind of revise and put a plan together?
Yeah, I think the way Ron mentioned it yesterday was they were, you know, still looking at you know, doing the research on it, and they were going to make an announcement when they had it all figured out. So, you know, I'm here with open ears waiting to see when we get to pick, who we get to pick, et cetera.
But it's no surprise more U.S. players are playing the game. There's more markets now in the NHL. And you look at Seattle's last draft, I know you and your scouts, I think there was, what, 4 U.S.-born players selected. So that's happening more and more. Every team in the Western Hockey League is looking more and more at those U.S. players.
Yeah, we're trying to find the best talent regardless of, you know, where they live. But I think that it's an advantage for us being an American, you know, franchise that these kids, they can come here, and the schooling transfers really well for them. And it's just, you know, Seattle's a great spot because of the airport. It's a good flight in and out. So we think we have a bit of an advantage that way, and we have to start utilizing it to the best of our ability.
Well, hopefully the fans, I mean, this is kind of a scout tournament, but the fans can come out and look at this elite level of AAA Bantam and maybe see a future T-Bird or two out there playing in that tournament late February.
Yeah, 100%. I expect it to be a pretty busy building for a few days, and I think it'll be a great opportunity for people to come out and watch and see what scouts look at. And you're going to see, you know, there'll be players on the ice that are in the NHL, you know, within 5-6 years. So it'll be a really exciting time for everybody.
Well, certainly looking forward to that, Bill. Thanks for your time, and we know this is a busy time of year for you and the GMs around the league, so happy holidays if we don't see you before Christmas.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And it's time now for some final thoughts from head coach Matt Audette, ahead of a very busy weekend of hockey. 3 games in 3 nights for your side, and You're 6 points out of a playoff spot. Kind of missed an opportunity Tuesday in that game against Spokane to climb within four because Tri-City was idle. But now you get them head-to-head in not only the game coming up tomorrow, but two of your final four games before the holiday break will be against the team right above you in that chase for a playoff spot. So these are pretty significant, almost like playoff-type game, but a busy weekend for you as well.
Yeah, for sure. The games are going to come fast and furious here. You know, taking care of our bodies and making sure we're well prepared and rested will be important. And they're obviously big games, divisional games. The two games against Tri are obviously really big. That's the team directly above us. So, you know, we'll take it one game at a time and try to get the win Friday night.
Now, if you look at the games against Spokane, the one guy who stands out every time we play him is the goaltender, back warm. And, again, you're a team that has struggled to, you know, finish some of your chances here the first half of the season. So you really know going in what you have to do. You got to find a way to solve this guy.
Yeah, he's been good, and he's, you know, just watching the box scores, you know, with their games. Him and the other guy have been really good, you know, saving a lot of pucks and getting these guys wins. And it's the same challenge for us. We're going to have to get some traffic on this guy, try to get a lot of pucks on him, create second and third opportunities like you would with any good goalie, and just make it difficult for him. You know, and bearing down on our chances. We are getting chances, and, you know, it's a matter of putting them in the back of the net. It's something that we're consistently working on in practice, but that would help. More run support, so to speak.
As we mentioned earlier, you know, Simon Kubicek has left, so he's not here for these games going into the break. So it brings you a little less experience on your back end. But some of the teams you're facing are facing similar situations where players have left. And kind of, I guess you could say, a missed opportunity against Spokane on Tuesday because they were missing a three of their top six D-man. But you get another chance at them again on Saturday. And, you know, if you have to like the way you played in that game, and if you can just stay out of the box again, you have a chance to pick up some points.
Yeah, and just watching the video, I thought we did a lot of good things. You know, we played well, especially in the first period, first half of the game. We played really well. I didn't think they had much until the 5-on-3 power play in the first. A couple big hits by them kind of changed the tone of the game. You know, I thought that was a turning point. You know, they were missing some D, but their, you know, a couple of their big guys there were pretty impactful. But I thought in general, you know, the 5-on-5 stuff, some of the stuff we're doing is really good. It's trending in the right direction. But that being said, you can't win games with taking 10 penalties Saturday night, and you can't win games taking 7 penalties on Tuesday night. So that's something we most certainly have to rectify.
Well, as we said, it's a busy weekend for the T-Birds with 3 games in 3 nights. I don't think you've done that yet this season. If you had, maybe it was on that trip out east. So a big challenge for your guys. You mentioned, you know, you want to be prepared. You know, the older guys on the team have probably been through it a few times. They know how to rest up. But some of the young guys, this is kind of a new thing for them. I know, you know, back playing midget and bantam, they probably, you know, had a lot of games on the weekends. But, you know, this is a different level of hockey. You need to really focus in on how you prepare for these 3 games in 3 nights.
Yeah, for sure. You know, as far as personnel, everyone's going to get a chance to play. We have to spread the ice time out more so than we would, you know, with all these games and the 3-on-3. So everyone's going to have a chance to play. They got to get themselves ready to play. And like I said, take care of your body away from the rink. Make sure you're eating right, going to bed, getting your sleep, and that all contribute to being fresh come Sunday.
And with that, we wrap up another week's show here with the coach. Again, the T-Birds with a pair of home games this weekend, beginning tomorrow night at 7:35 against Tri-City. Go online for tickets at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Thanks again to our guest, General Manager Bill LaForge. For the head coach, Matt Odette, I'm Tom Bolling. Thanks for listening on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.